Hello and welcome to the After the Sermon podcast. This is a Bethany Church podcast where once a week we get to dive into the sermon that was preached on Sunday and go deeper into it. My name is Joe and I am joined by Tammy DeLau.
Great to be here.
And also David Baxley. And we are going through Nehemiah, a series called Rise, Rebuild, and Restore.
Yes.
And this is part three.
Yes, yeah, it is. So we're in week three, actually week one, Thad spent most of the time and Esther kind of giving us a historical foundation of what God has been doing to bring his people up to this point long before they even could see where what was happening and how God was doing that. And then last week that kind of covered how God was moving in the life of Nehemiah, bringing the people together, the initial call. And now we have where we're coming to where the people actually beginning to actually respond to that call. So, and I haven't got to share really much about this. This is my first time getting into this series, but one of the things that I'm excited about with this series is because of how, I just think this parallels where God has taken us right now as a church so significantly is it feels maybe different reasons, but in a lot of ways, I feel like we're coming back in the same way that Israel was. And, you know, they were maybe off for different reasons, but I mentioned this in my sermon, like even though they may have been off for different reasons, God did what he did with them. Like he sent them, he moved them. That was God's divine hand. And I just as much believe what we've gone through this past year is, and actually over a year now, was God's divine hand. Mm-hmm. Like God, it's hard to think of it that way, but God was in the middle of doing something for, and I really believe for his people and his church all over the world. Mm-hmm. And so all over the world, his church and his people are having to now realize what is now, just like the rest of the world is practically what's a post-COVID world look like. How do they rebuild, restore? We, as a church, I think should be asking that same question because I think the temptation was, and I talked about this a little bit, the temptation is to come back and just want to,
recreate.
How do we get back to normal, right? That's right. No one wants like the term new normal. Mm-hmm. Like no one likes that term. But anytime something dramatic happens in our lives, there has to be a new normal. It is the nature of humanity. Mm-hmm. It's the nature of life, but also there's a spiritual truth to that. There's a spiritual truth to that when God comes and does something dramatic and he moves, or whether it's consequences of sin or just life itself because of sin, what is happening, which is what sickness is, right? When God comes back, he doesn't say, now everyone just be like you were before and we're fine. Yeah. God begins to do something new in his people, new in his church, because the world around us is different. If our job is to be in our world but not of the world and come into the world and see what is the mission that God has put us on to expand his kingdom in 2021, we can't keep saying, but I just want it to look like it did in 2019. And that's I think for all of us, that's kind of hard. You know, I'm when it comes to like holidays and things like that, I am so like sentimental, man. Like my wife says, I am so sappy when it comes to this. Like I think about my favorite holidays, seasons, looking back all the way to Christmas when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And the family got together. We came for like 3 or 4 nights. We went to church together. We had a little thing we did on Christmas Eve. We had what we did Christmas morning. And now in my life, it was one family, one place, one location. Now I'm usually splitting between 2 different families on Christmas and moving around. And I'm always like, oh, but it just doesn't feel like it was. Well, guess what? God did something new in my life, different than what he did. I'm married now. Mm-hmm. I have kids. I have 2 families, in-laws, all of this thing that is different. If I just stay in a place of like, but I just wanted to look like it did when I was a kid, I'll miss what God is doing in my life right now. And to find not only joy in it, but to join with him with what he wants to do in my life differently because of it.
That's good. It's like when people say, you wish you knew you were in the good times when you were in the good times. And somehow it means like we're not present in this moment right here happening around us because we're worried like, why isn't it like it was in the past? Those were the good times, but you didn't know you were in the good times in the good times. What if right now is the good times and you're just missing it because you're grieving the past or something?
Oh, that's a good word.
Is that good? Is that good? Mm-hmm. Tammy loves it. She's excited.
She is now. Now Joe made her smile. Everyone's on the video going like, Joe, she's not.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care.
No, I'm just trying to follow your thoughts, but I think I caught up. Okay. So I hear what you're saying. So you are saying, I believe I hear you saying that it's possible we rob ourselves of the joy of what God is doing now when we are either looking behind at what was or even looking ahead to what could be. I mean, I think it could happen on both sides of the spectrum. So,
well, I think there's dreaming, which is important. You know, as we look at Nehemiah, as he painted a picture of what God was, of a dream that was coming. Mm-hmm. But he didn't try to paint a picture of, it will be just like it was in the day of Solomon. Mm-hmm. It'll be just like that wasn't the picture. It was like, this is what it would be like now. Mm-hmm. This is what God is doing now. This is what God is calling his people to now. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important because sometimes we can be, just be really, man, discouraged.
Right.
Because it's, and I could think that. I could think like, I can look out in the room and be like, oh man, but you know, back in March of 2019, it felt like this, it looked like this, I saw this or whatever it might be. And very easy. And this is what our children's ministry is doing, our youth ministry is doing. I mean, things are gonna look different. Mm-hmm. And so, there's some normalcy that we expect with that, but I think emotionally it's hard to embrace that. Mm-hmm. And I think the people of Israel are probably battling with those same things as well.
Well, and tradition can easily become God or become an idol. Mm. I think that's very, very easy for us. But at the same time, I want to acknowledge that it's hard. I think of when my daughter got married, Cullen was everything I prayed for and more. But I realized that the chapters of Megan's life that included my name, I was going to be less and less a key player and as her life was going on. And it's everything you want and pray for. And even in a church, we want to see growth and we want to see change. But I think it's easy, especially for those of us who are a little bit older, to find comfort in what used to be. And so I need to be as excited for what God is doing here, even though it might feel different. Bethany might feel different than it did, you know, when I came as a little girl. I need to say, yeah, my flesh doesn't like it, but I know it's good and it's right that Megan is married and they have three little lambs and I can see what God did. If he allowed me to keep my little girl under my wing, we would have stunted in growth. Like, you know, does that make sense? But there was real grief in letting go.
So here's
and change.
Here's a question. Is it okay to grieve that the present isn't like the past, or should we just get over it and move on?
I think how we grieve matters a lot with that.
Right.
If we grieve in like almost well, let's go with the grieving process, right? Like if we can get to the place of I miss, but I believe something good God is doing now, then yeah, that is okay. Like I still think back of those days, those Christmas stories. Right. I miss them. Mm-hmm. Like I sometimes even wish my family could have those type of experiences, but not at the expense of doing well now, not at the expense of complaining about now.
Right.
So I think that's the difference. Whether it's complaining to each other, complaining to God, or just in my own spirit, like, oh, I wish Christmas is never going to be like it once was. Right. And if I just accept it, like there's the kid version of fine, and then there's like, all right. Fine, God, you're doing something. Mm-hmm. And if we look at the beginning of chapter 3, one of the very first things that we saw in verses 1 and 2, that as the high priest and the fellow priest began to rebuild, it says that they dedicated it to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And and in this sense of they were not just about doing something, but doing something with purpose that was reminding them, coming back to who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what helps us grieve. Like what is even we're told in the New Testament, right? We grieve differently. What do we grieve? As some with hope.
With hope.
Exactly.
It's because we have this understanding of as we enter the new season, God is still working and moving.
Mm-hmm.
We're not absent, but we have to remind ourselves of that sometime. And I think part of the dedication, we've dedicated this building, when we moved into it, symbolically to remind us that God is beginning something new. It is God was working in our past and now he's working in our present. We want to make this about what God is wants to do now, mm-hmm. and remind ourselves to that to celebrate that past, and sometimes even be like, oh, and I missed some of those things which were good, mm-hmm. but we sometimes have to leave those things to see what God is doing now, and that's the same thing for us too, is to keep that dedicated heart, mm-hmm. instead of, man, why isn't 21 going to be like 19? I dedicate 21 to God. Mm-hmm. I, as God is rebuilding, I dedicate, and it's, we have to think about this on the staff level, but there's more distance in chairs right now, right, than there used to be. Mm-hmm. I dedicate this new setup to mm-hmm. see God do something to connect people better, mm-hmm. to allow people to feel open and comfortable in a space. Like, I want to dedicate these changes to see God do them. Do I want those changes all the time? No, but I want to dedicate to see God rebuild, mm-hmm. and it keeps my heart and my focus. Because yeah, even though they were rebuilding what was burned down, mm-hmm. and I don't know if it looked the same way that did the first time. I doubt it. Yeah, yeah. I really do.
Well, I don't think they were building with burnt stones the first time. So definitely there was a rebuilding that looked very, very different, you know, so.
That's a really good word. Mm. And I just think that's,
I think change, I mean, I know we need to be careful not to make this all about us, because obviously we need to think of who it was written to, what was going on in their world. We were talking about that before. But saying that, now I'm going to talk about us. Change is hard for us, and we find comfort in what used to be, but that's not right all the time. It's not right. So I think a good challenge as you're talking about us coming back and Bethany and what it's going to look like, and for us to not always want what was, you know, but to be excited about what God is doing, just like they needed to be excited about what God was doing. And, you know, Jesus came from all of this. So good comes from change, yeah. You know?
I think grow groups, as you guys are talking, one of the things, and I think we'll get some questions in on this, but to be, to allow yourself to ask that honest question, how are we doing with believing and joining with God in now? Mm-hmm. Versus how many of us are saying, oh, I can't wait till it gets back to mm-hmm. dot, dot, dot. Mm-hmm. Versus I can't wait to see what God's going to do differently now. Mm-hmm. And that little tweak, because we can even say, I can't wait to get back to what God was doing then. Mm-hmm. And inherently there's nothing wrong with that when it was a good thing that we saw God do.
Does it need to be, I can't wait to get back to God? We put something at the end of it, you know, like, what is God doing? Like, we want God, we don't want before.
Yeah, I think that's a good foundation, because mm-hmm. You're right, we may put God first, but we're more excited about the second part, which mm-hmm. is, I really miss what God was doing when I did this thing, because mm-hmm. I love the thing. Mm-hmm. I love the thing. Mm-hmm. But God did the thing, so it was a good thing, right? Right. Well, yeah, but was it about God or not?
That's, I mean, I went to a wonderful church growing up, and we would sing the doxology, and we would all link hands, and we would sing praise God from whom all blessings flow.
Nice.
I wish we still did that, but I can release that. I mean, but does that make sense? Does that make sense? But that's one of those things where that was really sweet to me.
Let's see if the probably, worship pastor will
can
do
you
that.
Imagine with COVID now, if you said, David, let's all join hands, or you asked us all to join hands and sing it. It's not for now. I mean, that's just one of the, but God is still doing things. So I don't know. Maybe that's way off base.
No, I think that's a good example, because mm-hmm. the other piece of this, and I think this is why we have to realize we got to be in the now, because mm-hmm. right now, as God rebuilds, and we saw this as we continued in chapter 4, mm-hmm. as they were doing this, joined together, everyone doing their part, mm-hmm. What do we see happening? The enemy came. Mm-hmm. Those around them, and for us, we know who that enemy is. We hit this at the end of our Living Free mm-hmm. series so well. The enemy prowls like that roaring lion seeking to devour. He is going to come mm-hmm. after God's church. He has been coming after God's church during COVID. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of division. Mm-hmm. Tammy, you have a testimony of a church you know mm-hmm. that is pretty much almost done.
Not done, but it's ugly. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely division over choices. Because
people are leaving left and right, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the church...
it's broken.
Yeah, and it's very broken. The enemy came, and sadly, mm-hmm. the enemy mm-hmm. seems to have won some of that, mm-hmm. Some mm-hmm. of that battle. Yeah. And yeah, right now, we have a huge, huge calling in front of us that the enemy not only has been working, and I've seen God give us so much grace here at Bethany. Mm-hmm. I was talking with an elder yesterday, and in a time that could have been so divisive, mm-hmm. even as we disagreed on things, approaches, ways of doing things, you did not see that divide the church. You did mm-hmm. not see, I think, people just exiting to go find whoever was going to do it the way they mm-hmm. wanted to. And that happens with some, but as a whole, I don't think we saw that across the church. And I think that's a powerful testimony of how mm-hmm. we stood together.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, that same stand together in a way, we're going to enter as we rebuild. It seems like that maybe movement might come mm-hmm. to an end, but the enemy's still going to come at us. And that's what the enemy did here.
Well, and I guess and what I'm concerned about is I think we've weathered the outside attack well at Bethany this last year. But when we go on to read next chapters, there's an internal attack that happens. Mm. And may that not be us at Bethany, where we're part of the disunity or the stopping of what God's doing because we're fighting amongst ourselves.
As we get in chapters 5 and 6, right, we begin yeah. to see that divide mm-hmm. that whereas they had the outside the wall jeering mm-hmm. at them.
Right.
And mocking God, trying to make them have less faith, believe in what God is calling them to do right mm-hmm. now, which the enemy will do. He was trying to disrupt their belief in what God was having them do, but then all of a sudden now inside their own ranks.
Right. Now they're fighting
people internally. Yeah, they were fighting internally. Mm-hmm. They went from being mocked from the outside to the subtle mm-hmm. sneaking in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. I think that's just as much of a danger
mm-hmm.
As we enter this, as we begin to rebuild. I think we're going to actually see both simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is going to be doing that. He's going to try to jeer us. And sadly,
it's the 1-2 punch.
You know, it's really interesting. I think I've seen though there's been those outside the church world that have, we've seen this, especially in other places, and in Wisconsin too, though some, where it felt like there was an outside attack against the church and how mm-hmm. we did church and those type of things. But in a sense, we should expect those things.
Mm-hmm.
We should expect that external persecution or challenge or fight as the enemy moves to disrupt. And there's a normalcy with that, but we should not expect there to be internal.
Maybe expect it because we're sinners, but not be okay with it.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's a better way of putting it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we should not. And I found myself, I'm okay. I know I'm going to get attacked from the outside. Like mm-hmm. But inside, let's stay this course mm-hmm. together. And mm-hmm. the enemy will try to do both what happens in chapter 4 with the outside and chapter 5 with the inside.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big, lesson for us in that mm-hmm. of how we're watching out. And the thing is, it's so easy to be absolutely convinced that I'm the one on the inside keeping the unity. And to really say, but if there's division, how am I going to keep the unity? Not mm-hmm. how am I going to get right, get everyone to believe that I'm right?
Mm-hmm.
How am I going to maintain the mm-hmm. unity so that we keep rebuilding?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's why I think the enemy will be more aggressive right now, because we are rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
We're rebuilding to see God do something that he didn't do in 2018, 2017. Mm-hmm. And those are all great things God was doing, mm-hmm. but it's a new world and we're a new church.
Well, and mm-hmm. our plates have been, so to speak, cleaned off, and now we get to decide what goes on the plate, and we want to be wise in those decisions, what matters and what doesn't matter. So, yeah. But then I know you will be talking a lot about prayer mm-hmm. as we go into this, as you go into your sermon on Sunday, and I think that's the key element that's so easy to miss. Prayer is not always an easy thing to do. I know you've shared, and maybe you want to share just your story with prayer and just how God has wired you.
Yeah, because as they go to respond to the attacks, we see in chapter 4, verse 9, it says, so we pray to our God. And before they did other things, they prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And instinctively, because it says they prayed to our God and we stationed a guard mm-hmm. because of them. And what I tend to do is I just see what's happening and I'm like, all right, who's on guard duty? Where are the weapons? Let's just get going here.
mm-hmm.
All right, what do we got to do? Like you know, like, and we got to take action. There's a problem here mm-hmm. and I'm problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of starting with praying to my God.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared this, yeah, you're right, in the message, but it's because the truth is any of us, but I'll put myself in this, the rate at which I go to prayer is a direct reflection of the rate at which I believe in myself more than God.
Mm-hmm. So that's a great confession on your side. I'll confess the opposite way, because I think you're doing a really good job challenging us with, yes, prayer, but then there's an obedience and an action that needs to follow.
And start to move.
Yeah. And to start to do whatever it is God is asking you to do. I am very aware that Tammy's got nothing and brings nothing to the plate. And so I am quick to go to prayer, to ask the Lord, what should the agenda look like? But then it's easy to get stuck there. You need to do the next thing. And so where the evil one trips me up, where you may be tripped up in thinking, I've got it, I'm David, I'm a doer, mm-hmm. the evil one can trip me up with, well, you don't really know what you're doing. Are you sure that's what the Lord's asking you to do? And to almost become paralyzed. Does that mm-hmm. does that make sense?
No, that's so a I think really there's point.
I think
very good.
One is just as we need the Lord the same. It's not like the person who's
yes,
quick to go to their knees
exactly right.
is more mm-hmm. spiritual, because no, I can sin in that too. Does that make sense?
Which is why it's so important that in the same sentence, they prayed to God and station guards.
Yeah, I think you've
We pray and we act, and mm-hmm. we pray and we act. And the order is important.
Right.
Because we act without prayer, we move in the flesh.
Right.
We pray without action, we don't move with God.
Mm-hmm.
And both we don't want to see happen in our church. We want to mm-hmm. move with God. So we have to start with him. And Tammy, I liked how you said it earlier. I want to give you credit because as it shows up. And then because the last thing that they did, they prayed, they moved, but then they come back in 4:14. After they've done all of this, and it says, I stood up and said to the nobles and officials and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the great and awe-inspiring God. So their response was prayer, action, and remember God,
mm-hmm.
which really comes back to prayer.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't pray, I've forgotten God.
Yep.
I mean, truthfully.
Yeah, and I love verse 20. It's so hard to read through this thing, but at the end it says, our God will fight for us. Mm-hmm. And so even in the midst mm-hmm. of their action, they knew God was fighting. And so it's yeah. so easy to make it about us. It's just,
yeah, because of that remembrance, like remember mm-hmm. what God did.
Mm-hmm.
Like back in Moses and Joshua mm-hmm. and King David, what God did and move forward.
Mm-hmm. And this is where the past is so important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? This is where the past is. So we don't live in the past. We remember what God did in the past mm-hmm. so that we can, with passion and with conviction and with confidence, move with God in the present.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Amen.
And obviously we do that through studying God's word. We see God's faithfulness to his people. We see that in our own lives, but if you've only come to know the Lord a month or two ago, you may not know that yet. And so that's the beauty of us sharing our stories with one another.
So
because then, you know, if I see God's faithfulness in your life, David, that encourages me. If I'm in a place where I can't even see God's faithfulness in my life right now, or maybe I'm too new of a believer to have that story, It's why community is so important. It's
yeah.
why brothers and sisters are so important in this battle. It's why these people needed each other around the wall. They couldn't build a wall mm-hmm. by themselves. So,
well, and as we get to the end of 4, as you were hitting there, this is a powerful picture for us because it truly is a picture of how we have to continue to be in a state mm-hmm. of being as a church. Their state of being here as they were going about rebuilding was, we rebuild.
Mm-hmm.
We're in prayer, but we are stationed at the wall. And not only did they station soldiers at the wall, but then when they realized, you know what, this is like bigger than maybe we might have thought initially, what we do here, we have a weapon in one hand and a tool in the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we can get so sidetracked that we either, all we are is weapons,
mm-hmm.
and we're just fight, and we should be fighting spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
But we miss actually doing what God's called us to do with the tools and the gifts that he's given us within the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big call, was calling the people,
mm-hmm.
calling us as a church. And we all got to hear that call right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole idea of the unity and all the roles they're having was because of that call. Everyone's got mm-hmm. to rise up. But at the same time, they still had a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
We have a call to move, but as we rise up, we have to be in a continual state of both,
mm-hmm.
a continual state of I am warring. I mean, coming out of this and seeing the warfare picture for us, because we no longer battle against people.
Mm-mm.
Our battle against flesh is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the principalities of the dark world, against the demons, against Satan and his plans. His agenda is against God's kingdom. we're the people of God's kingdom, he's going to come against us. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we are not just on a mission of fighting, we're on a mission of building. We're on a mission of building God's kingdom, to see God's kingdom come, to see God's will be done. But we have to do that in a state of readiness of both defense and offense.
So this is going to maybe sound really intelligent, and I guess I don't know the heart of God, but the reason that the temple was rebuilt and the wall was being rebuilt, was that ultimately to show the world who Yahweh was, who God was? And as we're being rebuilt as a church, is that maybe not the only reason, but the world is watching us.
No, I'm with you completely. I said that in the opening, that what is the why of why the rebuild?
And right.
The big why for Israel was to be the beacon.
Okay. Mm.
This is where you come to see God. Mm-hmm. This is, the temple was God's place. This is where you come and see God's people. Mm-hmm. They were meant to be the testimony of the power of God, of that Yahweh was the one true God, mm-hmm. the God above all gods. It was meant when there is no hope, there is hope in being God's people. Mm-hmm. When it feels like you can't do this, you're right, you can't, because God fights for his people. Mm-hmm. And so when he raises Israel up as a people called to him, but yet we see that same—
So it's all for his glory.
We see that same picture in 1 Peter mm-hmm. chapter 2, and he says, so as you come to him, he's talking to us, and he uses this picture, which is so perfect. As you come to him, a living stone, mm-hmm. rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious, you yourselves are like living stones being built up mm-hmm. as a spiritual house. So be a holy priesthood to offer your spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And it's that picture of who we now are as God's people, who we now are as the kingdom builders and the kingdom fighters. Mm-hmm. We are the stones of which God is using to raise up his kingdom, mm-hmm. to build up his people, his nation, his kingdom, to be the people belonging to him. We are chosen people, Peter mm-hmm. also says, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. Why? So that we may declare the praises of him who called me out of darkness and into this wonderful light. This is a powerful picture of us mm-hmm. and who we are. And so we are the stones that God is using to build, to continually pulling people to him. And it's so important, because during COVID, the church kind of was 50-50, if I'm honest. As we look around testimonies around even my own country.
So give me more 50-50. What does that mean?
We either, to point people to God, it's a point with grace and love and humility mm-hmm. to say God is before us. And even when things aren't what we like, we have hope, we can find joy, mm-hmm. we can find contentment. And we saw believers rise up with that. But at the same time, we also saw anger. Mm-hmm. We saw spewing of venom. Mm-hmm. We didn't see joy and contentment. We saw people saying, I got to take the bull by the horns and just mm-hmm. take things down and take people down and, mm-hmm. and do this thing. And I'll just, you know, if I'm responding to what it means to be the fruit of the Spirit, what's the fruit of the Spirit of flowing out of me? It's love and joy and peace and patience and kindness mm-hmm. and goodness and gentleness and self-control.
Yeah, we've not seen a lot of self-control.
But mm-hmm. so now even more, as we rebuild, it's possible, like Israel, we might be rebuilding out of some times of sin.
Some burnt stones.
You know, I can look at my life and say where I responded in flesh in times, mm-hmm. In my own heart, into people. Mm-hmm. And maybe even under the name of a spiritual reason, mm-hmm. a guise of what I would have thought was the spiritual right thing to say or do, but it wasn't the fruit of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so as we rebuild now, even more, as people are coming out of their homes, getting back to life, are we a beacon of hope as a church for people to come back to? And the beginning of that first is unity. It comes back to that piece, is are we a unified people of God that even in this room, because there are, we talked about this back, we went to the Daniel series, in this room every Sunday morning, we have different belief systems about a lot of things, mm-hmm. especially socially, economically, politically.
But Jesus unites us.
Absolutely. And so really the whole world has those same divisions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are we known for our divisions, of how we identify with the divisions within the world, mm-hmm. or are we known as a people as we rebuild that mm-hmm. that is that beacon of hope that is different, because we are like the people in Nehemiah, where we come together unified, mm-hmm. we are ready to fight for the kingdom of God, not our own personal agendas. Right. They were not fighting to protect their block of wall. that they thought was their thing. Because remember, it says, and in chapter four, he says how when you hear the sound of the horn, to run after, go and join wherever the fight is needed. Mm-hmm. Go and fight for your brother, with your brother and sister. Mm-hmm. Go and fight together, even if it's not your area, not your section, not your agenda. Mm-hmm. Not the thing that you're most passionate about. You go and fight together if it's a God thing. So don't bring our own pieces in it too, and don't just protect your own stuff. But in that testimony of unification, of that testimony of prayer, and I would say also in the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of us, is we can be rebuilding, but not with love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness. Mm-hmm. If we're not known as a kind people as we rebuild, we won't be a beacon of hope.
Well, if our foundation isn't the Lord, we are going to fall. I mean, we need a firm foundation.
And this is where keeping a focus on being God's kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine this would have been for those people coming back from exile too. Mm-hmm. They've spent a lot of time in exile. Mm-hmm. A lot of habits were picked up. A lot of values were challenged, I am sure, of what is the best way to live and the best way to do things. And as they got back together, they're now, and I mentioned that they're intermixing with the people of Israel that never left. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine how hard that would have been, because we're going through that in COVID. I mentioned this in the message. Mm-hmm. We have some that came back in July, some that came back in January, some coming back now, some that haven't come back yet but are planning to. Mm-hmm. Like, we're all going to be coming from really different places because of where we've been this past year, just like Israel.
Right.
And we have to look at each other and our differences of our past and not let that be a defining factor for anything. Mm-hmm. Not let that be, and we just got to say, so what is God calling us all to now? Mm-hmm. Not what was he doing when we were over there in Persia? Not what was he doing when over there in Babylon? Like, what is God doing now? Mm-hmm. And how do I join with that? Mm-hmm. And to, but also to realize, you know what? You're going to see things differently than I do, Joe, because you were in Persia. You're going to see things differently over here because you were in Babylon. And I'm going to see things differently because I got stuck or I got left and I was still in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And so I think those are big things that we have to think about, and their unity to build together, to be in prayer together, to stand side by side with a weapon in one hand, or even before there was a weapon in one hand, when one guy built, the other one guarded. Mm-hmm. The trust and unity that had to be in that also was a powerful picture for us to join with God now.
So did they just know that naturally, or did God make Nehemiah that leader that helped them realize? I mean, our flesh doesn't want to come together with the next person and do the right thing. So,
and we don't realize it naturally. So this is what...
I don't want to make Nehemiah the savior,
no,
but obviously the Lord did use him.
Well, and we get to the very end of the book of Nehemiah, not to spoil it, but... Things don't end up as good as they should have. Mm-hmm. But the reason is because we need Jesus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like, we are a people of God that needed Jesus at the moment of salvation and just as much desperately need him now. And that's easy to forget. That's easy to forget in my life. That's why my prayer is different. When I went to salvation, there was only no way I was getting saved without prayer.
Right.
I had to go to God. Mm-hmm. But as I move on with my life, I forget how desperately I need Jesus. And if we're really going to point people to Jesus, then we've got to also desperately show them our own need for Jesus. It's not their need for Jesus. It's our need for Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you need Jesus like we do. You need Jesus like we did and like we do. Mm-hmm. And so come and see the beauty of, in our differences, the unity that's found in our need for Jesus. The unity is found in the fact we want to follow him together. The unity is found that in our differences, he may be a builder and I may be a soldier, and he may be building a wall and they may be building a gate. But in all of that, we are in this together. And they may have been from Babylon and I may have been still in Jerusalem, but we are joined back together as one people, following God together. That is a powerful picture. And that's actually the call of the church. Mm-hmm. It's one people under God. That's the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I love about this section in Nehemiah. And so, you know, as groups are talking, we're going to throw some questions at you, but also just, it could be a good week too, to just think about, to build from what Thad went last week. Just, what is God calling us to now? Mm-hmm. What does that look like? Maybe you have to say, as a grow group, how's it look for us first? How do we be this mini church that lives and walks in that unity? But ask yourselves too, how are we representing that in our jobs? School, you know, we're back. Maybe some people are back into work where they were maybe from home before. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people are back to school where they were home before. Our kids are back in those situations. We're interacting with parents and teachers in different ways. Mm-hmm. And maybe we do have to first ask ourselves, did we represent God well? Mm. And if we missed it, mm-hmm. God's grace is sufficient, but maybe we got to just confess that a little bit to help each other walk that so that we can move forward. Mm-hmm. But also to say, but now, how do we do this together now? How are we doing? Mm-hmm. If someone just saw our group, they say, wow, that's the fruit of the Spirit flowing out of them, not just in our mm-hmm. group, but because of how we're living, we're not together in our other places. Mm-hmm. Would they say they got Jesus? Oh, that's who Jesus is. Now I see him. And then, mm-hmm. and then, but even more as all these groups come together and who we are as a church at Bethany. Mm-hmm. And I guess the think about what does it mean to bring God's kingdom, see God's kingdom come, to build up God's kingdom, not just Bethany, mm-hmm. because we should be, as we're rebuilding here, it's for the purpose of rebuilding a kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. What is that going to look like new and different, and how are we willing to walk with that mm-hmm. 21 and in 22 and with these same values, prayer, fighting side by side, dedicating it to the Lord, remembering our awe-inspiring God. Mm-hmm. So when the enemy comes, the walls are strong, the people are unified, and this will be a place that can be known for that's where you see Jesus moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Cammy, anything you want to add to that? Or
nope, I think I have a lot of thoughts, but our time is up, so...
Well, thank you for joining us on After the Sermon podcast. We hope that you have a blessed week, and we'll see you guys Sunday. God bless. Mm-hmm.